At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something pretty fascinating. Delta sleep-inducing peptide. You'll see it called DSIP.
Right.
And it's mostly known for sleep, obviously. It's
right. The name.
But it seems like it might be involved in other things, too, like stress, maybe pain, even thinking.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite intriguing. So today we're going to, you know, unpack the science behind it. We'll look at the research, but the really lab stuff and the human trials.
Okay. And touch on side effects. Naturally.
Yeah.
Plus, maybe think about how people like, say, Andrew Huberman or Joe Rogan might view it. Maybe Dr. Craig Conover, too.
Absolutely. We'll try and cover those perspectives. So DSIP, fundamentally, it's a nonapeptide.
Meaning 9 amino acids linked together.
Yep. Precisely 9 in a very specific sequence. It's TREP, allaglegally asp, allosericly glue. That order is, well, it's crucial for how it works in the body.
And where did it come from? How did we find it?
It goes back to 1974. Dr. Guido Schoenberger and his team, they actually isolated it from rabbit brains.
Rabbit brains, wow.
Yeah, specifically from a deep part called the diencephalon, while these rabbits were in an electrically induced sleep state.
So the discovery itself was linked directly to sleep.
Right from the start. The initial idea was that it directly promoted slow wave sleep, you know, delta sleep, that really deep restorative phase we need.
Okay, makes sense. So before we jump into the human studies, what did that early work, the preclinical stuff in animals, actually show? Was it consistent?
It was pretty consistent on the sleep front, yeah. Across various animal models, researchers kept seeing DSI promote and regulate sleep.
How so? Like just making them sleep longer?
Well, yes, increasing the duration of that slow wave sleep, but also improving its quality. Animals given DSIP often fell asleep faster to reduced sleep latency.
Okay.
And it even seemed to help normalize sleep patterns if they'd been messed up beforehand. So it really strongly suggested a role in, you know, keeping sleep on track.
Interesting. Was it only about sleep duration and quality in those animal models, or did other things pop up?
No, definitely not just sleep. Another really interesting finding was its potential anxiolytic effect.
Anxiolytic.
Yeah.
So reducing anxiety.
Exactly. When they put animals in stressful situations, the ones that got DSIP often showed fewer anxious behaviors. Mm-hmm. And more than that, they actually measured lower levels of stress hormones like cortisol in their systems. So it looked like it might buffer the stress response itself.
Okay, so sleep aid and stress reducer. Potentially. What about the pain aspect you mentioned earlier? Did that show up in the animal studies too?
It did, yeah. Several studies, mainly in rodents, suggested DSIP has analgesic effects, pain relief.
How did they test that?
They'd use various pain stimuli and found that DSIP could make the animals less sensitive to them. The thinking is it might involve the opioid system somehow, but that's still being figured out.
The opioid system. Okay. Now, you also hinted at something, well, almost sci-fi sounding, cognitive enhancement. Neuroprotection.
Ah, yeah, that's definitely where it gets particularly exciting, but we need to be cautious here. These are very preliminary findings from the animal work.
Understood. But what did they see?
Some studies gave hints, just hints, mind you, that DSP might have nootropic properties, cognitive enhancing.
Like making mice smarter.
Sort of. Maybe improvements in learning and memory tasks in certain models. And there was also some early evidence suggesting it could potentially protect neurons from damage under certain conditions. Neuroprotection.
Wow.
But again, really needs much more research to confirm any of that and understand how it might work if it does.
Okay, so a lot of promising signals from the animal research across sleep, stress, pain, maybe even cognition. What happened when they moved to human trials? Did it translate?
Well, the human studies logically focused on those same areas, sleep problems, stress, pain. For sleep disorders like insomnia, there have been quite a few clinical trials.
And what did they find? Did it help people sleep?
Some trials reported definite improvements. People felt their sleep quality was better, they slept longer overall, and woke up less during the night.
How were they giving it to people? Pills?
Mostly through IV injection or sometimes as a nasal spray. How you administer it is pretty important for peptides, affects absorption and all that.
Right. But I sense a but coming. Were the results crystal clear?
Hey, yeah, you sense right. It wasn't quite as clear-cut as some of the animal stuff suggested. The overall picture from human trials is, well, it's a bit mixed.
Mixed how? Some studies work, some didn't?
Pretty much. Or maybe the effects weren't as strong or consistent across everyone. Could be down to study design, who they studied, the dose, the delivery method, lots of variables.
So more research needed there, definitely.
Absolutely. We need bigger, really well-controlled trials to say for sure how effective DSIP is for different sleep issues.
Okay. What about stress and anxiety in humans? Did the animal findings hold up there?
There's been some research, yes. And some studies do suggest DSIP might lead to people reporting feeling less anxious, maybe having a better mood, especially if they're stressed.
Objective reports, though.
Often, yes. Which is valuable. But again, many of these are smaller studies. So same story, need more large-scale, rigorously designed trials to really confirm it and figure out who it helps most.
And the pain relief. Did that show up in humans with chronic pain?
There have been some initial exploratory studies, small ones mostly.
Uh-oh.
Some participants did report less pain intensity, but it's really early days for DSIP and pain management in humans. Needs much more investigation before we can draw firm conclusions.
You mentioned earlier that a lot of this human research happened in specific places, Europe mainly.
That's a really important point, yeah. A significant chunk of the human DSIP research, especially the earlier stuff, came out of Russia and Switzerland.
Why does that matter?
Well, it's great initial work, provides valuable data, but for something to be widely accepted and used, you really want to see those findings replicated independently by different research groups in different populations around the world.
Are you sure it's not just something specific to those groups or how they did the studies?
Exactly. Diverse populations, maybe different genetic backgrounds, environmental factors. It all needs looking at. Plus, independent verification just strengthens the evidence, helps figure out the best way to use it too. Dose, timing, everything.
Got it. Okay, let's talk safety. If people are using this or considering it, what do we know about potential side effects?
Based on what's been published, DSIP actually seems to have a pretty good safety profile overall.
Meaning, not many side effects reported.
Well, the ones that are reported tend to be mild and they usually don't last long. Transient is the word.
Like what kind of things?
Some people might get mild stomach upset, you know, a bit of nausea, maybe. Occasionally some mild dizziness or a headache, but usually temporary.
Okay.
And if it's injected, you might get a bit of redness or maybe slight swelling right at the injection spot. Pretty standard stuff for injections.
And what about serious problems? Anything major linked directly to DSIP?
In the published literature, serious adverse events that are clearly caused by DSIP seem to be rare.
Why might that be?
One theory is just that it's a peptide that's naturally found in the brain anyway. The body kind of knows it already, maybe tolerates it better than a completely foreign substance.
Makes sense.
But, and this is crucial, even with a good profile, any use of peptides like this should absolutely be done under the guidance of a qualified healthcare professional. You need proper monitoring.
Always good advice. Okay, let's shift gears a bit. Thinking about some well-known figures in health and wellness. Andrew Huberman, for instance. Given his focus on neuroscience, sleep, peptides, what might his take on DSIP be?
Yeah, thinking about Dr. Huberman's approach, he's very rigorous, very focused on mechanisms and solid data. So I'd imagine he'd really emphasize the need for those larger placebo-controlled trials we talked about.
Especially in Western populations.
Probably, yeah, to confirm the earlier findings. He'd likely be fascinated by how it works, the exact neurobiology. And knowing him, he'd focus heavily on things like the route of administration.
Mm-hmm.
How does taking it nasally versus IV change its bioavailability? Does it cross the blood-brain barrier effectively? Those kinds of critical questions.
Right, the detailed mechanics. Now, someone like Joe Rogan, his podcast covers everything from performance to, well, alternative therapies. How might DSIP come up there?
With Rogan, it's often a blend, isn't it? Expert insights alongside personal stories, anecdotal evidence.
Yeah, very experience-driven sometimes.
Exactly. So DSIP could easily fit into a conversation about sleep hacking or managing anxiety or maybe just exploring novel peptides for human optimization. You'd likely hear a discussion of the science, maybe from a guest, but also potentially personal accounts. I tried this and here's what happened for my sleep or stress, that kind of thing.
Subjective effects alongside the data.
Okay.
And then there's Dr. Craig Conover, who's known specifically for peptide therapies.
Right. Dr. Conover is deep in this world. He works directly with peptide therapies for wellness, for optimization. So it's highly likely he's not only aware of DSIP, but has probably discussed its potential uses with patients or publicly.
What angle do you think he'd take?
Given his focus on personalized medicine, he'd probably talk about using it strategically, maybe seeing it as a perhaps gentler option compared to some pharmaceuticals for sleep or anxiety.
Highlighting the natural aspect, maybe.
Potentially, while also acknowledging the other possible benefits like pain relief. But critically, coming from a medical perspective, he would absolutely stress the importance of getting it from a reputable source. Quality matters hugely with peptides and using it under proper medical supervision. No cowboy stuff.
Good point. Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive on DSIB, what are the main things people should take away?
Well, I think the key is that DSIP is this really interesting, naturally occurring nonapeptide. It's most famous for its link to sleep. But the research, especially the early stuff, suggests it could also play roles in anxiety, pain, maybe even cognition.
But the human evidence needs more work.
That's the crucial caveat. While the preclinical animal studies are promising, and some human trials show positive signs, particularly for sleep and maybe anxiety, we really need more high-quality, large-scale human studies across different groups of people to know for sure.
And safety-wise.
It seems pretty well-tolerated based on current data. Mild, temporary side effects are the main thing reported, so it's definitely still an active area of research, a potential tool for sleep, stress, and general well-being that people are looking at.
And the fact that figures like Huberman, Rogan, Conifer are likely thinking about or discussing it shows it's on the radar in the health optimization world.
Absolutely. It's one of those peptides that, because of its potential, keeps drawing attention, worth watching as the research continues.
It really makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If we could get a much deeper handle on these peptides our own brains make, like DSIP, how could that change things? Could it lead to truly personalized ways to manage sleep or handle stress, maybe even boost brain health that go way beyond the drugs we have now? Something to ponder. Thanks for exploring this with us today.